Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
There we go. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and we have some real interesting conversation lined up for us today. Number one, it's a very controversial topic. You got to wait for it because we're going to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll tell you what our topic of the day will be. Let's go to God in prayer. God, thank you so much for this morning and for this opportunity to be able to bless so many through the airwaves. God, I do pray that relationships can be healed. And God, that you just bring clarity in so many ways, Father, through your scriptures, and you use me to help, Father. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So what is our topic for today is how to ruin your marriage. Yes, you heard that correctly. How to ruin your marriage. Proverbs 21, verse 9 says, better to live on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Ouch. Ouch, ouch. I mean, what do you think about that passage? We want to hear from you this morning. Get in on the conversation. Tiffany Bacon is not with us this morning, so I need your help. Come on, have some conversation with me. So if you feel like you're the quarrelsome wife, or your husband's been telling you that, or you're the husband who's married to a quarrelsome wife, or who knows, maybe the husband is the quarrelsome one, all right? So we want to hear from you, 855-454-5905. 855-454-5905, and get in on the conversation. Proverbs 21, verse 9 says, better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Oh, wow. That is crazy. So we're going to go ahead and start with our phone calls right now. No? Okay. So our producer said, not yet. All right. So this is what we're going to do. We want to invite you as well to visit us at facebook.com/beyondthevows. If you want, you can go ahead and post your comment, your questions. But right now, we want you to be our first caller. Who will be our first caller? 855-454-5905. Okay, the phones are starting to light up there, so thank you so much for calling. But again, we want to have this conversation, how to ruin your marriage. And we're going to give you some tips on how to ruin them. And hopefully, you know, you can kind of switch those around and say, well, no, I don't want to ruin my marriage. I want to have a great relationship. What do I do there? So we're going to go through a few of these. We're going to encourage you what to do and what not to do. Of course, we know that the Bible gives us all the wisdom that we need. You know, these are a couple of things I want to read here that some have shared after a ruined relationship. I want to read a few of these. I was cruel and self-serving and critical with my words, probably every day. Other one here is, I looked out for number one and tried to protect me. Wasn't thinking about my spouse. I didn't serve my then husband enough. I wasn't really serving. Another one is, I didn't really build him up. I knew how to tear him down, but I wasn't really good at building him up. I didn't let him be who he wanted and needed to be. Check this one out. I cared much more about my living in perpetual pain than I did about the pain that my then husband was living in. And there's so many more that we want to discuss. But, you know, are there things that you have said or done that have perhaps ruined your marriage, or is ruining your marriage right now? Or perhaps you feel like you're doing a great job. It's not you, and you just don't understand. You can't fathom why your marriage may be failing. We want to help you. We want to hear from you. Again, we invite you to call 855-454-5905. We do ask, if you are calling from a mobile phone, that you please pull over. Make sure you close your windows and take off the Bluetooth so we can hear you directly. But only do that if you pull over, okay? We don't want you to get into any traffic accident or anything like that. this morning. All right. So we definitely want to hear from you. And so we're going to go ahead and go to our phone lines right now. We appreciate those who've called. We have Jimmy calling in on line one from the Philadelphia area. Good morning, Jimmy. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great. Well, thank you so much. You are our first caller. Good morning.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Jimmy. So what is your comment about our topic today about having a quarrelsome wife?
I strongly believe that a quarrelsome wife kind of ruins the marriage because if you don't have patience in the relationship and you have this quarrelsome person, it kind of drives you away.
Mm.
It kills the intimacy you have for one another.
Sure.
And I think it is usually not too good for a relationship.
Absolutely.
The bottom line requires patience.
I agree, and I think everyone agrees that we need to have a lot of patience with one another. Now, Jimmy, are you speaking about your own relationship or just hypothetically?
I'm also speaking from experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so you feel like
you might have a very good wife, but if the wife is quarrelsome, you don't want to leave the relationship because she's quarrelsome. She's always. I mean, she also has her good side.
I hear
these
you.
These are the gift and take of a relationship. She might be a very good woman, but she's quarrelsome, and you have to talk her into getting away from that. Other than that, you know, the relationship kind of ruins because of there's no.
You know what, Jimmy? You bring up a good point, right? Because sometimes we label people and we think, all right, because they have this flaw, then that kind of overshadows everything else. And you're saying, no, she might be a great woman, but this might be her issue. She just really. You know, gets caught up on something and she won't let it go and she wants to, you know, kind of pick a fight. And you got to figure out a way to help her so that there could be peace in the house. And it starts with patience. So, Jimmy, thank you so much. I think that's great conversation. Hopefully you've learned to be a more patient husband and be able to bring out the best in your wife. And thank you, Jimmy. Well, God bless. You too. You have a blessed day. All right, let's continue on here. We go on to line two where Brenda is also calling in from the Philadelphia area. Good morning, Brenda. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you're the first female that's calling, and I know this is a very controversial scripture, but it is in God's word. First of all, what do you think about this passage that the Bible talks about is better to live in the corner of the roof than with a quarrelsome wife?
I agree with it because nobody wants to live in it with anybody who is always controversy, is always arguing, is always just something and never any resolution.
Mm.
And it's interesting to me because my husband quotes this scripture over and over again, and I used to say to him, of 34 verses in Proverbs, this is the only sentence that you can relate to. And he often says he'd rather do that than, what the scripture
Ooh.
Says.
Now let me ask you a question, Brett. Are you still currently married to your husband?
We live together, yes.
Okay, so you live together. You're having some issues, it sounds like. But
We're having a lot of issues.
Does he still quote this passage to you, or is he
All
pretty
the time.
Much?
All okay. the time.
All right, so you want to hear the good news or the bad news?
Both.
All right, well, I think the good news first is, I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but I've learned this from a doctor named... very, very well-known marriage counselor out there called Dr. Willard Harley, and he talks about the different needs that men and women have. And one of the things he talks about is that there are three stages to every marriage, and it starts off with, you know, what we call the honeymoon stage, which is like bliss. Then there's the conflict stage, and then right at the end, you know, when marriages are about to fail, there's a withdrawal stage. Now, the reason I tell you that there's a good part to this is if he is still quoting this, there's a part of him that still cares enough and it bothers him enough to even make a note of it. Now, if he didn't care anymore, he'll be like, forget it. I'm done. I'm not saying anything else. That's the time to be the most concerned. But it sounds like you're definitely in the conflict stage. And believe it or not, it's not the worst place to be. I know it doesn't feel that way, but it is not the worst place. So what I think that the both of you got to figure out is, number one, with you, Brenda, because, you know, we're talking to you, is do you think there's some validity to what he's saying?
Yeah. I mean, there's just such and I don't have time to go into it on this show
sure.
right now, but
sure.
it's so much over. We've been together for 40 years.
Woo.
And, right.
and how long have you been married?
Years old.
You were together as teenagers, basically.
Yes, and he has been the only man I've ever known, really. But there's been infidelity on his side in our relationship, and there was a situation that occurred with him with work that disabled him, and it's just been a series of things. There was an addiction early on both of our parts. We are both 17 years clean. So it's been a lot. And there's just no respect from him towards me. No matter what I do, is seen as quarreling. Anything that I say is seen as argumentative. Anything that I want to do, it's I'm the man. You don't have anything to say. And it's just after 40 years.
Wow.
It's like what I can agree that we probably are in the conflict stage. We are also entering the withdrawal stage.
Sure.
Because we go weeks at a time without talking to one another.
Well, after 40 years, I mean, I'm sure there's a part of you that feels like I'm just tired. I don't want to keep fighting and fighting.
I really am tired. I am very, very tired. It's this ongoing battle. I'm a Christian. He won't go to church. He makes fun of the, you know, whatever I do when I go to church. It's accusations that there's something going on at the church.
Wow.
You know, I have God has blessed me with a position at work that my profession is really getting where I wanted it to be all these years, and that's an issue. And if I go out, that's the issue. And I try to understand that given what he's going through with the injury he sustained, this is a person that has always worked, always.
Wow.
He can still work. But he's fighting the former employer, and it has consumed his life. It's like everything is about, it's been resolved on one end, but he just won't let it go.
I hear you.
So much.
We hear you, Brenda. And Brenda, I want to get a little bit deeper with this, and I want to share something with you that I believe might really help you and those who are listening. We do need to take a quick break. So, Brenda, I want to ask if you can just be patient with me for a little bit. We're going to take a brief pause, but we'll come right back. And I do want to share something with you, and then I also want to ask you a question, okay?
So, okay.
Brenda, if you can hold on, and then everyone else on the phone line, if you can just keep waiting. And in the meantime, you can give us a call, 855-454-5905. We're going to take a brief break. But we'll be right back.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and we're having a controversial conversation right now. We're talking about how you can ruin your marriage, and the scripture of the day is Proverbs 21. It talks about being a quarrelsome wife, that it's better to live in the corner of a roof than to live with a quarrelsome wife. And right before our break, we were speaking with Brenda. Good morning, Brenda. You're still there?
Yes.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your patience. So for all those who are just tuning in, Brenda called and said that her husband constantly quotes this passage to her about her being a quarrelsome wife. They've been together for over 40 years since they were teenagers, and they just constantly have issues where she's getting so tired. She's like, I don't know if I can keep going. Now another question I have for you, Brenda, and this is a very important question. Do you feel like you still love your husband?
Yeah.
You sure? You don't sound too sure. You're trying to.
No, I do love him. I can honestly say I don't like him.
Yeah. Okay. And that's fair. That's fair. And you know what? That's natural, right? You're not gonna just like and even enjoy being around someone if there's constant conflict.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's like maybe you're away from each other, you miss each other, and you come back and there's a big argument or some kind of disagreement. You're like, you know what? Why am I even bothering?
Right.
So it does become tiring. And I think, Brenda, you are in a place where a lot of people are. And yet, I think what you were sharing before, where you're saying, you know, your strong Christian values, he's not there, but you are. And it sounds like that's what's been holding everything together. Like you're deciding you're not going to leave him. You've put up with a lot, let's be honest, with everything you shared, even his infidelity. But yet you've been by his side, and it seems like as time goes on, it just gets harder and harder. And so the first thing I want you to know is God knows what you're going through, and yet he's allowed you to be in this situation for a reason. And I think it starts off, Brenda, by having a very spiritual perspective and a godly perspective of like, God, what do you want me to learn? Because 40 years is a long time. And I'm sure there's some lessons that God wants you to learn through all this. And I actually want to share something with you in Colossians chapter 3. This one's tough, but this is the scripture. And you know what? I wish I can share that. Well, you can share it with your husband, but if the Bible's not his standard, it's going to be hard for him to say, okay, I'm going to agree with this.
Right.
But what blows my mind is he agrees with Proverbs 21.
The only one.
The only one. And it's like, all right, listen, you can't quote this one and not look at this one. So this one in Colossians 3:13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And to me, the most challenging part of this passage is forgive as the Lord forgave you. See, we and I hear this often where people talk about forgiving and forgetting. We can't forgive that way. We're not able to. Physically, I mean, mentally, we can't, but we can forgive as the Lord forgave us. And how is that? No strings attached. It's never brought back up. I mean, you notice how God doesn't keep our sins against us. If we repent, I mean, it's over. It's like he never brings it back.
And, you know, I think that's part of my struggle is when you know scripture and you believe it, but your partner does not.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, as you said, it's very difficult to say, you know what, Colossians 3:13 says, have a forgiving heart as God forgave us. Well, he doesn't have a forgiving heart. I repeatedly.
But you can, and that's right. What I'm saying. You have it for you. And you're right. It is a challenge, especially because it feels like all the weight is on your shoulders. Because, you know, your husband's even quoting scriptures that are beneficial to him, but he's not quoting a scripture saying, wow, honey, I read this in my Bible today, and I realize I'm not patient the way I need to be, and I need help with this. Let's pray together, you know? And I think that you're right. That's what a Christian marriage should be like. But do you realize that perhaps the test in all this is how much of Jesus and Christ-like you can be to win your husband over? And it sounds like you've been there. I mean, everything you've shared, I'm sure there are times you've had, you know, better days, but you're getting to that point where you're becoming weary. And I want you to think about something, Brenda. Not too long ago, I was doing a workshop and it was intense. You know, couples were sharing. Some of them were talking about their argument. And this one couple gets up and they talked about how the husband had a near-death experience. I mean, literally, like, not just like a scare, but he woke up in the hospital. He was gone for months. And they had the last thing they said to each other was a very stupid argument. And they're saying, look, not that our marriage is perfect now, but one thing they've learned is that life is too short. And I think the lesson for you, Brenda, is, you know, life is too short. What if tomorrow you had to give an account to God on the type of wife you were? Not your husband, because he's going to have to give an account as well, but you would have to give an account. Can you honestly say before God that you did your best to be that wife that God called you to be? Not because your husband deserves it, but because you're a Christian and you love Jesus.
Right.
And I think that's all you can do. Now, after you've done that, then there's nothing else. But I'm sure there's room for you to grow. And the way God usually works is once we learn the lessons, we kind of move on. God would make sure that you go to the next chapter. Who knows? Your husband's heart might change. His situation might be over. Who knows? But for some reason, you're stuck in this. And again, I don't have all the answers for you, but But I believe that if you look at it from a godly perspective, there's a lesson to learn. Mm-hmm. And I hope and pray, you know, we'll definitely be praying that your husband has a change of heart, but making sure that you don't become that stumbling block.
Right. Okay.
So when your husband quotes that scripture to you, make it where you don't even have to say anything, but people will look at him like he's a liar because you're not even close to being that quarrelsome wife.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Brenda, thank you so much. We really do appreciate you calling in. And be patient, my sister, and then call us back. Let us know how things are going.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You have a blessed day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to continue on here with our phone calls. We want to invite you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. We're having a controversial conversation. And right now we're going to North Carolina, where John is calling in on line one. Good morning, John. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning, Marcus. How you doing?
Good morning, John. How you doing, my brother?
Yeah.
So your favorite scripture, man, Proverbs 21.
My goodness, I love this scripture. But
does your wife love this scripture? That's what I want to know.
I thought this conversation I had to call. I know I've been holding back. I said I had to call.
All right, well, good. Well, tell us what's going on. The first thing that comes to your mind or came to your mind when you heard us quote Proverbs 21 about, and I'll re-quote it for those that are just tuning in, better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is that a lot of people believe that scripture is designed for their wives.
Mm.
And I think people don't realize that this scripture is a state of fact, not a scripture to rebuke your wife with.
Oh, absolutely. If you're using the scripture like our previous caller Brenda shared that her husband does, you've already lost.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's you've lost the battle.
Because nobody dated and married a quarrelsome woman.
Well, maybe they did, and the woman just hid it very well. Or you just didn't care. You were full of lust, and you just wanted to get married, and then you did. But whatever the case may be, if you're married, you're married now.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of times we end up with a quarrelsome wife because of the things we as husbands fail to do. The wife comes to you first with small little things, says, "Listen, honey, can you?" And you're like ignoring her, not listening, not taking care, not making sure that her needs are being taken care of. And then, she becomes more vocal. Then she becomes a nag. Then she becomes all of these other things. And I think the scriptures is obviously expressing how horrible it is to be married to a quarrelsome wife. But I don't think it really is saying, you know, wives, stop quarreling. It's saying, you know.
You think it's more like a wake-up call? Like, look, this is not good. This is what you're building, because the Bible does call the man to be the spiritual leader. But the way that we describe even that spiritual leadership, really what the Bible says is that the husband should follow Christ and the wife should follow the husband as he's following Christ. So it's like it just works. It's like you don't fall in line with your husband. You fall in line with Jesus because
right.
your husband's following Jesus. So
right.
it's not like I'm falling in line with him. So if he's going the wrong way, you don't follow him that direction. But I think what you're saying, John, is very key. I'm curious to hear what your wife has to say about this. Is she nearby? Would she be willing to come on the phone and say, hey, this is what the scripture means to me?
Well, I can certainly change over, but she's watching the kids.
Okay. No, that's understandable. I'm just more... Because, you know, as you call as the husband, and I think you're being fair in this situation, right? You're not saying my wife is quarrelsome and whatever, but I think that...
Well, my wife is not quarrelsome.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're not saying that. And I'm saying if you were to say that, I'd be like, hey, you got to put your wife back on the phone so she could defend herself, right? But in this case, no, you're saying I'm not saying she's quarrelsome. And if there is some, you know, if she was that way, then I have to take responsibility.
Absolutely. I think as men, because women are sensitive, God made our wives extremely sensitive to being unloved. And that's why he commands us to love them. Because men don't think about how they are treating their wives. What are they considering? They're not considerate. They want to get what they want done at the expense of their wives. And then their wives become more and more displeased with the marriage.
You know, I think you're right, and I'm saying it also firsthand, right? Not just from my experience in helping couples, but even in my own marriage. There's times where I have felt, and don't get me wrong, it's not 100% my fault in terms of when my wife has been quarrelsome, but it's been 100% my fault when I've done something that hasn't helped the situation, that's made it worse. And so there are times where I've realized, and I've been married 16 years, so I had kind of gotten to know my wife a little bit by now, and I still am getting to know her more and more, and just like she's getting to know me more and more, and that's what marriage is about. But in all these years that we've been married, I realized that whenever it sounds like or I feel like my wife is either nagging or coming across like she just wants to fight about something, there's really another issue. Because my wife, that's just not her composure. She's just not someone that just wants to be confrontational all the time. And so I got to always kind of take a step back and say, well, what is it? And sometimes it's what you said. She's very sensitive. Maybe I'm not giving her the attention she really needs. Maybe I'm not being as patient as I need to be. And then once I kind of see where I'm at, it totally changes the whole situation. Have you seen that as well with your relationship?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, my wife is very sensitive. And it really, I had to learn that sensitivity is not a negative thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you have this impression, everything. It's like, no, that's how God designed her, so that she can totally be in tune with those things, because those feelings are important to her.
Okay.
And if I'm not being mindful and careful and caring for my wife in the way that she needs, the alarms go up. You know, if she feels that she's divided, we're not spending time together. I'm not sharing my life with her. When I'm not listening to what she's saying, then she becomes more annoyed. You know, like I said, you know, I didn't. You know, that's not what attracted me to her. Sometimes people believe that their wives have always been quarrelsome.
They were always like that, and then why would you have married them in the first place, right? Now, John, let me ask you another question here, and then we're going to continue on here with the rest of our callers. And if you're just tuning in, we're having some great conversation. In a way, it's a little bit, you know, confrontational or you know, a little bit challenging for some, especially the women, to say, wait a minute, is this scripture really true? Proverbs 21 talks about living with a quarrelsome wife, that it's actually better to live in the corner of a roof. Now, I don't know about you, but I definitely don't want to live in the corner of a roof. But wow. This scripture is stating something strong here. But John, let me ask you this question. In the moment, and how long you been married, John?
Going to be 11 years this year.
Right. So 11 years, that's a good enough amount of time there. In those 11 years, mm-hmm. has there been any times where your wife is beginning to quarrel, you feel like she's picking a fight, and you just totally don't see your part. You just see her fault. Like, you're like, why is this woman nagging me or wanting to fight so much about whatever it is? And what have you done at that point?
Well, you know, many, many, many times I have thought that she's just crazy.
Okay, keep it real, John. All right.
I mean, it's something I had to learn over time that she isn't insane. But when that happens, and obviously, yes, my wife is responsible for her feelings, her emotions. If she's becoming unloving in the way that she's approaching it, but ultimately, I recognize that I am the person responsible for making her feel loved, and I believe when if she's having a fit of rage or whatever, or getting upset, mm-hmm. I have to step back and say to myself, okay, what have I done? And then I also have to have the conversation mm-hmm. of how she approached it. You have to do both, right? Have to explain to her that is not the righteous approach, have to lead in that way. But at the same time, have to recognize that she didn't get that way by herself.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a great point. John, thank you so much. I appreciate the conversation. I think it's always good to hear from you calling from North Carolina. We really appreciate it. Give much love to your wife, to your family. Of course, she's taking care of the kids. So we thank you for listening and giving us a call this morning.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too, John. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's continue on with our conversation here. We are having a great conversation, actually a little bit of a confrontational conversation, a little just conversation here on Proverbs 31. And this is what the scripture says: better to live on the corner or on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. And so talking about, you know, how you can ruin your relationship. You know, are you doing things that perhaps are causing conflict in the marriage? If you're the wife, are you that quarrelsome wife? If you're the husband, you know, are you doing anything that's causing your wife to act that way? Or do you really think she's out of her mind? Like John says, sometimes he feels that way. We want to hear from you. 855-454-5905. Let me give you the number one more time. 855-454-5905. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page. We love social media. Our favorite book, of course, is the Bible, but our second favorite book, you know, a social media book, is Facebook. And we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/beyondthevows. And what you do is once you get to that page, you hit the like button and get in on the conversation. I mean, of course, we have thousands and thousands of you who get in on the conversation week after week. You post questions. You make comments. You might even seek help on Facebook. And so we do want to invite you to visit our Facebook page. In a little bit, we're going to go ahead and visit. So if you have any questions that perhaps you're not feeling too confident about calling in about, you say, hey, maybe I can send a Facebook message and we can get to your post. Okay, now there are a few there that people have posted that we're going to get to in just a bit, but we're going to continue on with our phone conversations first. And again, I'm going to give you the number 855-454-5905. I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows as we have a conversation about how to ruin your marriage. And we're going to Lynette, who is calling in on line two from the Philadelphia area. Good morning, Lynette. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you, Marcus?
I'm doing very well, Lynette. I appreciate you calling in. So what is your comment or question about, specifically about our topic in terms of how to ruin your marriage, or how perhaps you may be that quarrelsome wife, or maybe your husband thinks that's you?
Well, I'm not married.
Okay.
But it's just in general how you treat people. You have to be, to piggyback on what John was saying, you have to take responsibility for the part that you play. People just don't become argumentative for no reason. And once we're responsible for our part, we can go on. And I also learned growing up what you don't do.
Mm.
Like, we can pick and choose our own battles. And a lot of times, if you put it out there and you tell the person what they're doing wrong, and if they do nothing to change it, only one you can change is yourself.
That's so true. But, you know, it's so hard when you're in the heat of the moment, right, when you're having a disagreement or an argument. And like you said, you're not married. I'm sure you've had relationships, even just friendships, where you can just have constant bickering and arguing.
You
you're
have
like,
to. Marco, I have to cut you off. I'm learning. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
We can pick and choose our battles. The Bible tells us what comes out of our mouth. We have to think before we speak.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. I agree with that. But, you know, the Bible does say, right, James, in the book of James, it says no man can tame the tongue. So what if someone says, listen, I know I got to be careful what I say, but I'm going to say the wrong thing because that's what the Bible says. I'm going to make mistakes.
And we do, but once you put it out there, you can't bring it back. And so we're supposed to learn, right?
Sure.
And if you've done it once and it didn't work and the results weren't good, why would you continue to do it again?
Because we're just hard-headed. We're proud. You know, I tell you, how many of us have done things we know doesn't work?
It's a process. You have to train yourself. You really, really do. Listen, all right. I went through it myself.
Okay. Well, tell us. We have a few minutes.
I'm in a relationship, right?
Okay. Good. I hope.
It's wonderful. But the other person is going through things just as we all are. If we're alive, we're going to have issues, right?
Of course.
And the key is to work on our issues, not to put them on other people. And that's what we tend to do, right? We can't do that. If you want good results, you can't. You present it to that person. And if that person really cares about you and loves you, they're going to do everything they can to do to change it. Just as John said, it's a process. You have to want to. You have to recognize. But we're all moving around, and we're just into ourselves. You can't be self-centered. That's what causes it. It's not all about just you. You're in a relationship. It's about the other person. Put yourself in their position. How would you feel? How would you want to be treated? Like, we have to do that. And if we don't do that, then we're going to continue to have the same results. We're going to bicker. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to have the infidelity. We're going to, like, have the not talking to each other.
But let me cut you off for a minute. I want to share this passage with you, and then I want to quickly hear what you want to say. And I, unfortunately, I can't spend a whole lot of time here because we do have quite a few callers, and they're waiting patiently. But Galatians 6, let me just read a part of it here. It says, carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Then I'm going to go down a little bit further, down in verse 5. It says, for each one should carry their own load. All right. So here it almost seems like a scripture that contradicts itself, because they're like, hey, carry each other's burdens, but each one should carry their own load. So do you have any idea what Galatians is talking about here when Paul wrote to the Galatians?
You're responsible for yours and your partners. I mean, you're a team. It's your helpmate. You have to help each other. That's the only way it's going to work.
Okay.
And that's what I see him saying.
I think you're right. And I think you've made a very good observation in terms of even your own relationship, right, where you can't blame your boyfriend, I would say. Is that your boyfriend or your fiance? You know, you're in the relationship with. You know, someone you're building this relationship with. And yet he seems to have, you know, his issues. And you said, hey, that's understandable. I don't expect for him to be a perfect man. There's only one perfect man, and that's Jesus,
and that's
right?
God,
and that's not who you're dating. So you know you're not. But I think we got to understand there's a difference between a burden and a load. We should all be able to carry our own load.
If I had time, I would share with you. I carried the burden. I carried the load in a prior relationship, and it ended in he committed suicide. And for a long time, Marcos, listen, I blame myself. You know how that go. Maybe if I had did this, I had did that. It wasn't until I had really had to give it over to God. I had nothing to do with it. And when I look back over my life now, the more God would take me out of the situation, the more I would put myself back in.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know,
that's deep. That's deep because,
man, I could tell, like, Marcos, yeah, and it's all from God. It's nothing that had to do with me. I had to surrender all to understand, to be okay, to be in my right mind.
And you know what, Lynette, I appreciate it. I really do wish we had more time to talk about this, but I tell you one thing. You learned a valuable lesson.
Saturday, I'll talk to you again.
But look, this is what I want to say, Lynette, and for all those who are listening. You learned a valuable lesson because there is a difference between helping someone carry their burdens, meaning this is a burden they can't carry on their own, versus helping someone and lifting their load, which is something that they should be able to carry. Everybody should be able to carry their own load. But once it becomes a burden, and I'm very visual. The way I look at it is like this. Look, if I have a book bag, my kids, you know, they're in school, they're growing up. My daughter's a teenager, and it seems like every year they give more and more books, more and more homework. And
right.
So they get bigger and bigger book bags. But, you know, there are those days during the week where they have gym, a lot of homework, and their instrument. And you just, if you were to see them, I mean, you're thinking these kids are going to be moving and they're going on a plane trip, you know. And so at that point, we're like, you know what, we got to help them. I'm not going to be the dad that walks next to my daughter where she's carrying everything. So I help her. But I'm not going to be the one always carrying her own books. And so I think that in the same visual way is there's some things that people should be able to carry for themselves that sometimes we make the mistake and we try to take it away from them. And like you said before, the lesson learned there is that God makes those things clear.
Yes.
Wow. Well, Lynette, we're so encouraged, though, to hear that you've made it through that hurdle and that struggle of feeling like you had to blame yourself?
I'm human, but when I realized that God is not going to put more in me than I could bear, not ever, never, ever, I'm okay today, Marco, and getting better every second.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. And look, much success, and we definitely will be praying for your future relationship, you know, that God makes it clear. But I think that you've learned something very important, and I hope and pray our listeners, you know, take note of this, is you got to listen to God when it comes to your relationships.
We got to listen to him for everything.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, thank you, Lynetta. You have a blessed day. We really do appreciate you picking up the phone and giving us a call, and we can't wait to hear more from you.
You will. Thank you. I enjoy you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynetta. Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's continue on here. Line one, where T is waiting patiently. She's been waiting here. T, calling in from the Philadelphia area. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you, my brother?
Oh, good. T, you're a guy. All right, my brother.
Yeah.
All right, T. So here we are. We're having a little bit of a controversial conversation about being in a relationship with a quarrelsome wife, and how the Bible says in Proverbs 21 that it's actually better to live in a corner of the roof than with a quarrelsome wife. And so what is your comment or question about our topic today?
Okay. Now, I was listening, and one is I'm in a relationship. Now, I got to explain to you like here. I was in a, first of all, I was in a long time relationship for like 15 years.
Ooh, that's a long time. Were you married?
Yeah. No, we wasn't married.
Wow,
right?
15 years and not married. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But what happened was, in the end, we had, you know, she would start a lot of arguments. And I was like asking her, what's going on? What's happening? And she would never, you know, be frank with me about what was going on. But in the end of the relationship, what I found out, and I was the last to find out, is that she had got involved with someone because she had left me. And she had moved down to Florida with this individual, and some time later, because we was talking and we was thinking about reconciling and, you know, and trying to get back together and possibly get married. In the end, he not only did he murder her, but he killed himself.
Whoa.
Right.
Are you serious?
So what I have learned, then, you know, some time after that, I had met another woman. And one of the first questions I had imposed to her was, was she married or was she involved? And she said no. So, okay, so we started going out and we, you know, started seeing each other. And then next thing you know, a lot of arguments was starting, like her behavior had changed. And then I was questioning, like, what's going on? Like, I'm doing everything possible, to make the relationship work together as one. But you're doing all this stuff and then come to find out that what happened was she started seeing her ex-husband again.
Whoa.
So in the process, they had got divorced while we was together.
Let me hear. I mean, number one, that first story you shared about the relationship you were in for 15 years and how she ended up leaving you and the guy she ended up with killed her and himself. I mean, that's just tragic.
Right.
And then you said, you know, you shared about the second relationship, but it sounds like there is a pattern, and maybe this is what you're trying to point out. I don't want to put words into your mouth, so you correct me if I'm wrong. But it sounds like you're saying, listen, everything seems okay, you know, not perfect, but, you know, the relationship seems to be functional until, in your experience, your relationship, you know, the woman you've been with, they start being unfaithful, and it seems like that's when the quarreling starts. Like the reason they're picking a fight is because they're really looking for an excuse maybe to step out and maybe justify why they're stepping out. Who knows? And so that's what it sounds like you're saying. Look, if the person's faithful to you, you can work it out. But if they're really trying to step out, then they're going to find some flaw here to blame.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
And are you in a relationship now?
Yeah. And, you know, the one that I was just telling you about, I really love the woman. Right?
Okay.
Very good person. You know what I mean?
The first one or the second
one?
The first relationship or the second one?
Second one.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I even proposed to her and everything. So, you know, and being, you know, the type of person I am, you know, I got hope and faith, you know, so we just had a conversation and, you know, and one of the things she talked about that, yeah, she likes in a man is loyalty, right? And I'm like, really?
But isn't she like, the one that went back with her ex, or is like trying to go back to her ex-husband?
Right. The one who went back with her ex. And I'm like, really? And this is what I'm saying to myself. Like, wow. You know, you talk about loyalty, and you couldn't even be honest with me. Like, I was like, and I asked her on several occasions, like, are you trying to reconcile? Because if you are, then I would step back.
And right? You know what's crazy about this, T, is that she's not just, only is she being disloyal to you, but that was her husband, and she's trying to get back to him. She's being disloyal to him because she was seeing you. So that's right. that's just insane. So you have feelings for her. Now, the relationship you're in with now, it's not her, right? You're with someone else now?
No, I'm still I don't even know to call it a relationship, you know.
Hold up a second, T. So you're saying you're still with her, kind of, sort of, but she's trying to get back with her ex-husband? Is that what you're saying? She's still trying to get back with her ex? So why don't you, at this point, just, I mean, realize, you know, I need to cut this off. This woman is not loyal. She doesn't realize, she's not clear about what she wants. And
that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. You know, like we had a discussion. She told me she finally figured it out that it was a one-sided thing with her and him. And she really, you know, don't want to be with him, but. She's contemplating how it takes further.
People can talk. The Bible talks about. I mean, you can talk from. You know, you gotta let your yes be yes or your no be no. Anything else comes from the evil one, right? Meaning that, you know, if you can say one thing, but your life is gonna back. It has to back it up. But T, I'm glad you're saying. Listen, you don't think this relationship is gonna work? Because if not, I was gonna have to get my Bible and hit you with it because it's like there's no way that this would work or make sense. But, T, we thank you so much. We really appreciate you calling in and sharing the situation with us and enlightening us about what's been happening. So thank you.
Thank you.
You have a blessed day.
You do the same.
All right. Well, don't you dare touch that dial. I know some of you are patiently waiting on the phone line. We invite you as well during this break to give us a call, 855-454-5905. And we also invite you to visit Facebook because when we come back, we will go to some of your comment or questions online. Don't go anywhere.